Hello, everybody, and a warm welcome to the debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. The Trump administration has threatened to cut funding from the Duke University and the University of North Carolina over their Middle East Studies program. The joint program is set to, quote, highlight the positive aspects of Islam without promoting Christianity or Judaism. The U.S. Department of Education says that the program is not in compliance with the conditions guiding its funding for the National Resource Center, which grants such programs across the U.S. Let's explore the reasons for Islamophobia, which has been on the rise in America, and incentives of the people behind it. First, let's watch a report.
In late August, U.S. Education Department wrote a letter to a consortium led by the University of North Carolina and Duke University, saying the Middle East Studies program disproportionately portrays the positive aspects of Islam. The agency threatened the two institutions to make changes to their curriculum or risk the loss of their federal funding. The threat led to a widespread outcry among the academic community in the United States, and the uproar is still on. On Friday, the American Civil Liberties Union joined a chorus of condemnation, urging the Education Department to drop the threat. The advocacy group came down hard on the government, saying it is abusing ground rules to push its own views and is injecting the process with the, quote, presidential administration's long pattern of anti-Muslim bigotry and discrimination. Also on Wednesday, the Middle East Studies Association and 18 other academic groups issued a letter describing the government's threat as unprecedented and counterproductive intervention into academic curricula. They said the probe threatens the autonomy of America's universities. The presidents of Smith College and four other Massachusetts schools also released a letter earlier this week saying the inquiry is setting a dangerous precedent, one that puts academic freedom at risk. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos ordered the investigation into the Middle East Consortium in June after Republican House Representative George Holding complained that the program is severely anti-Israel and anti-Semitic. The University of North Carolina has denied allegations of bias and says the consortium fully meets the requirements of the federal grant. Duke University leaders have also pledged to protect academic freedom. The administration of the 45th President of the United States has been maintaining a harsh stance against Muslims both at home and abroad. Quickly after taking office, Donald Trump imposed a travel ban on citizens from several Muslim-majority countries. Trump is associating terrorism with what he calls radical Islam while being reluctant to condemn acts of terror against Muslims. The American president has also been attacking two Muslim members of Congress for their criticism of the government's immigration policies. American rights groups have time and again warned about the growing trend of anti-Muslim hate crimes and discrimination they blame on Trump's policies and rhetoric. The Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, has recorded over 10,000 anti-Muslim bias incidents since 2014, with a great surge happening during the Trump's term.
Well, that was Zamir Turgashman reporting there. Now, joining me to discuss the issue will be Noel Fritch, conservative consultant from North Carolina, also Michael Spreman, American author and former diplomat, joining us from Washington, D.C. Good to have both of you gentlemen. First, let's go to Raleigh, North Carolina. The DOE, like you just heard, has threatened to cut funding from the two American universities. And why? Because they're speaking positively of Islam. What does this indicate?
Hey, thanks for having me. This is an interesting case. And I think what it comes down to really is George Holding. You guys might have heard the phrase, all politics is local. Well, George Holding is typically not known as a very strong Republican voice in that caucus. And so there's a key word in his attack there, the launch that he launched through the Department of Education and the Betsy DeVos team over there, and that is the anti-Semitism. So I find it pretty interesting that you have the conservatives alleging that there's anti-Semitic teaching going on in the university system. Now, mind you, and all of your viewers, the university systems here in the United States are rabidly liberal. And in fact, the vast majority of what they do is actually carry a message of basically anti-Semitism, pro-Semitism in the United States university system. And so this is an interesting case of all kinds of cross-cutting cleavages that you know, is going to leave a lot of people with their heads scratching. It's very interesting to note, let me point out, that you have CARE and the ACLU sounding very similar to the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, in terms of bemoaning and decrying what I guess the new phrase is going to be anti-Islamic sentiment.
Islamophobia.
Islamophobia. Mm-hmm. Sure. I don't know if that's the route that I would want to go if I were in Islam, constantly kind of like playing the victim, sort of like we've seen for decades and decades. All of that victim stuff in the minds of most Americans anyway is really been put to bed. There's no victims in America anymore, really. The Antifa and the Black Lives Matter folks, they keep trying to beat this drum of like, we're the victims and who can be the bigger victim? And it's just, it doesn't go over well. And so it's interesting to see that we have a new seat at the table of the game of, you know, who can be the bigger victim.
Okay. Now let's go to Washington, D.C. Michael, critics argue that a letter from the Education Department is an attempt by the administration to enforce its views on Israel. Do you agree?
Oh, yes, indeed. You've got Donald Trump with his daughter, an Orthodox Jew, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, an Orthodox Jew. He was surrounded by Jason Greenblatt, who's only recently left. He's got a Zionist in as the ambassador to Israel, this Friedman fellow. So that the whole American government almost, maybe it's exaggeration, but I think it's strongly enough, close to the truth, that it's a very pro-Zionist government. You've got Sigal Mantelker, the Undersecretary of the Treasury for Terrorism and Financial Information. She's in charge of sanctions against Iran and Russia and other countries, and she was born and grew up in Israel. And to the best of my knowledge, information, and belief, she's still an Israeli citizen. So I wouldn't say that Muslims are victims in the United States and play the victims in the United States. They are the victims. They are targeted. Mm-hmm. Dr. Kevin Barrett was fired from the University of Wisconsin for his pro-Arab and pro-Muslim views. Stephen Salaita was fired from a tenure position at the University of Illinois for the same thing. So I think that this is an institutionalized hatred of Muslims, not a fear of Muslims, a hatred of Muslims. And it happened decades of propaganda. You can go to Dr. Stephen, Dr. Jack Shaheen's book, The Real Bad Media, or The Real Bad Arab, I'm sorry, and that's R-E-E-L, where he traces the hatred of Arabs and Muslims back to the 30s to cartoons and movies. So it's decades of propaganda showing the Muslim as the bad guy, and this has sort of been infiltrated and inculcated in the American consciousness that people automatically think the Muslim is wrong, the Muslim's a danger, the Muslim is this, the Muslim is that, and they don't seem to realize that it's the Christians and the Jews who have destroyed the Middle East and who are engaged in remarkable hatred and acts against Muslims and Arabs all around the world.
Okay, thank you for that. Now, let's see if we can go to North Carolina, to Noel. Yeah, if you're there, okay, Noel. Now, my question is, Islamophobia has been fanned in America in recent years, and it's getting even worse and worse under the current administration. Where should we seek the reasons for this?
Well, sure. Even the phrase Islamophobia seems to indicate just a very broad brushstroke. And there's a couple things that I certainly agree with there. There's no question that the Israel lobby has certainly a high level of influence with the current administration, as they did with the Barack Obama administration, as they did with all of the Bush administrations before that, the Clinton administration. There is a very strong lobby here to push to vilify a lot of the Islamic world. There's no question about that. And the question becomes, when does the administration begin to sort of parse the difference between different countries? Now, obviously, the ocean took a different tack on how to handle Islamic nations than the current administration is. At the same time, I think we have a scenario where we have a president who has really rolled back. And this is interesting. Despite all of those names that my esteemed colleague here has mentioned, despite all of those names in the administration, and well, Bolton just left, you have a president who has really rolled back all of that destruction that we used to see with the broad influence that Israel lobby had with former American presidents. You're not seeing President Trump take the United States into war, into a really illegal wars, undeclared wars, kinetic action, they call it here, to try to sell it to us. And of course, your viewers and a lot of people will remember, they've been pushing that kinetic action stuff on us for decades, war outside of the legal constructs here with our Constitution. Mm. In terms of what this means with Islamophobia in the United States now, is there some? Yeah, absolutely. I would say there is. Is it widespread? No, I would say that it is not. Similar to all the racism cries that we've heard from those folks that I mentioned earlier, those big kind of sissies like Black Lives Matter, BLM, and Antifa, who can be the biggest, victim, right? The victim game. So I don't see that widespread in the United States. I do see, just like I said, all politics is local. I see a little political play here for some Republicans to try to look tough, thump their chest a little bit, get a little earned media. I mean, let's look at this the real way, right? Like, mm-hmm. Get beyond the propaganda. Let's cut to the truth of the matter, right? That's what everybody wants. George Holding wants to be seen as a tough guy, okay? Probably the Trump administration, to a certain degree, wants to be seen as being tough on terror. Well, just like, of course, the Obama administration did. That's never going to go away. You're always going to want to. You're always going to see, presidential candidates, political office candidates, trying to thump their chest and seem like they're tough on terror. Uh-huh. That's never going anywhere. The question is, who's driving a lot of the headlines that we're seeing? Who's driving a lot of the propaganda that we're seeing? And there's, like I said, I've referred to those cross-cutting cleavages that you have. There's a movie. It's called Don't Mess with the Zohan. Okay, it's by a guy, he's a Jewish guy, called Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler skewers big parts of Israeli culture in Tel Aviv there, skewers, makes fun of all of the Tel Aviv culture that you have there. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of that here, like in places like San Francisco. And there's a lot of Hollywood that actually skewers that stuff. Another Saturday Night Live guy, Chris Kattan, who's actually of Jewish descent but from Iraq, he mercilessly skewers the nightlife culture that you find in our big cities. Now, here's the interesting thing. You guys know that the United States is a huge country of 330 million people. You can't paint one broad brushstroke across the whole country and say, that's what's going on in America. No, there's a lot going on in America, many different things. You have the East Coast and the West Coast, and who knows what they're up to. And then you've got everything in between, okay? The Bible Belt, the Sun Belt, really conservative people who just want to lead their lives in a Christ-like manner and be nice to their neighbor and let every country, like Iran, have the ability to defend itself, for example, have the ability to develop weapon systems that could defend themselves from attack from outside of their border. That's what most of the folks in America want, and I don't think that comes up to Islamophobia.
All right, now let's get back to the main topic. And I'll ask Michael Spreman. The DOE letter to the two universities complains of lack of balance of perspectives. It blames the program of absence of focus on Christianity and Judaism. Isn't there already imbalance in the literature propagated in the West against Islam already? Because also Noel is saying that those guys want to look tough on terror. Tough on Islam, tough on terror, they're not synonymous. Daesh and Al-Qaeda are not Islams. Okay, let's Michael Spreman.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Michael, go ahead.
Well, you're absolutely correct. You've got Islam is kind of an unknown religion in the United States, even though there are substantially more and more Muslims every year, either being born here or emigrating to the United States. Most of the people in the United States profess to be Christian, so we don't need to promote Christianity because most people are Christian here and know all about Christianity. And as for Judaism, while they might be a very small percentage of the population, they are dominant in the media, and especially in Hollywood and in the news media. So they never miss a chance to play up religion or the essence of Judaism. So I think that what you really got to do is promote the obscure religion, to describe the obscure religion, and to show that it is a no real difference between Christianity and Judaism. There's, I don't know whether it's the second or the third surah of the Holy Quran that lines out what you have to believe to be a good Muslim, and by and large, it tracks with the Christian and the Judaic Ten Commandments. So it's something that has to be explained where people don't really understand it. And you know, people I know, people who are supposedly educated, well-traveled people, have a horrible concept of Islam and think they are backward people, think that they are people that are stuck somewhere in the Middle Ages, and don't realize that a lot of the scientific knowledge in the West comes from Islam in the Middle Ages, mm-hmm. and that today there are any number of prominent Muslims in things like heart surgery, like DeBakey, and other science members and educators and so forth. We've had people in government like Dana Shalala, who was in the Clinton administration. So they seem to ignore the fact that there are Muslims in the United States, there are Arabs in the United States, who have risen to the top of the tree in almost every kind of profession.
Mm-hmm. Now, Noel, a student at Islamic Studies at Columbia University, and I hear that you also studied at Columbia University, that student has told Newsweek that this letter, and I'm quoting her, sends a chilling message to the students of Islam in the Middle East that they can only pursue and produce scholarships that align with the U.S. government policies. What is it that the U.S. government, what policies does it favor?
Well, I can't speak on behalf of the entire U.S. government. And just to correct, I actually am a graduate of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, the mm-hmm. university where this this letter was sent. And I grew
exactly.
up in Durham next door, which is mm-hmm. Duke. And so I'm very familiar with both of those institutions and studied international studies at Carolina. I can't speak for the whole government. I'm not sure that it's going to have a chilling effect because everybody knows here in the United States that basically the universities do whatever they want to do with impunity. And by and large, what that is well, I'm just going to disagree with Michael. The university systems here paint an extremely favorable picture of Islam. They did when I was in college, you know, 20 some odd years ago, and they continue to. That's you know, almost, you know, take it to the bank. It's a fact. Now, this
so
letter, like I said,
threatened?
it's a one-off deal.
Why are they being threatened? Their funds are going to be cut if they continue with that program.
It's a very, very small number of dollars, and it's not going to affect a high number of institutions.
$250,000.
We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of universities here, mm-hmm. And those institutions, if they did without $1 million here, $1 million there, they'd be just fine, and they would continue on basically unimpeded. Here's more to the point. I think the question is like, to Michael's point, and I agree with him on this. You know, how are folks being educated about Islam? I think that you guys might not be familiar with this term, but there's a term on the internet moving around called white Sharia, and you might be surprised to hear that term even exists. Well, let me just quickly unpack it for you. There are a high number of conservative, Christian, Republican voting, oftentimes white American males who, to a high degree, understand Islam and identify with a lot of the tenets that Islam professes and holds dear. Some of those might be modesty, for example. Now, I think some of your viewers in Iran would be fascinated to know that there are huge numbers of people in the middle section of the United States of America who actually agree with them on the idea that Americans, men and women, should be modest. So there's a lot more in common between conservatives, now even this guy who sent this letter, and a lot of his constituents, and many who are of the Muslim faith, than
well, I have to jump
a lot
in.
Of
We're
Americans
running out of time.
Would like to admit.
We have only one more minute left, so let me ask Michael Sprayman. Jay Smith, who's a UNC professor, also argues that a DOE's response to the joint program on Islam is, quote, ideologically driven harassment. Your comment in 1 minute, please.
Well, I would agree with that. New Civil Rights Office head at the Department of Education, Ken Marcus, is an avowed pro-Israeli, pro-Zionist person. And I would bet that he and other people in these similar positions in the American government are driving this anti-Muslim, anti-Arab, anti-Iranian viewpoint. So I think that in truth, it is a terrible thing, and it's being driven from inside the system.
Okay, and that then we come to the end of this program. Let me thank our guest, Noel Fritch, conservative consultant, who joins us from Raleigh, North Carolina. Michael Sprayman, American author and former diplomat, who joins us from Washington, D.C. Thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you next time.